My name is Jeff Harbach. I'm the CEO of Coffin Fellows and the host of the Coffin Fellows podcast. This season, our podcast is produced in partnership with Mighty Capital and features different Coffin Fellows as co-hosts. In this podcast, we dive deep into the personal narratives of some of the most successful names in the venture capital industry. But we're not here just to explore their highlight reels, however impressive they are. From failures and formative learning experiences to inflection points and aha moments, we discuss the real, authentic journeys that each individual goes through to become the best version of themselves in order to best serve the entrepreneurs they invest in. Covering various themes in venture capital investing, we speak with the world's top leaders in capital formation, all from a place of authenticity and vulnerability. Together, we'll unravel what truly makes a great venture capital investor. Now let's meet today's host and their guest.
Welcome to the Venture is Human show. I'm your host, Mohamed Almeshika, founder and managing partner of Outliers Capital. In this show, I converse with thought leaders in the venture and investing world to unpack the human side of investing and company building. If you're a founder or an investor, you already know that investing is fundamentally a people's business. I explore that further with our guest today. Jason is the founder and general partner of Emergence Capital, an early stage investor in iconic companies such as Salesforce, Zoom, Bill.com, Box, Yammer, DoubleClick, and many others. He's the founding chairman for the Kauffman Fellows Program, a founding board member of Endeavor, and served on the board of the National Venture Capital Association. He was named in the Forbes Top 100 Venture Capitalist Midas list in 2017. And before founding Emergence, he was a general partner with the US VP and an associate and a Kauffman Fellow with Venrock. Jason graduated with a BA in economics from Dartmouth College and an MBA from Harvard. Jason, very thrilled to be having this conversation with you.
Great to be here.
Well, let's get right to it. You know, after three decades, you probably have seen it all and would love to get your thoughts in what is the number one thing that you see early stage venture investors are not paying attention to.
Well, it's interesting right now. In some ways, they're paying attention too much. <You know>? We've seen an explosion in early stage investing. And in some ways, there's a lot of folks that are getting into the early stage venture business, either as a hobby or as an extension of another business that they're kind of a core in. So there's been a lot of a flood, I would say, or a tsunami of interest and activity in the early stage business. And maybe the thing I guess I'd reflect on is I do think it's a discipline and it's a profession and it's a career. And it requires to do it well over a long period of time, a passion for it and a focus on it. And so having seen a few cycles come and go, my guess is that many folks will get exposed to the business and decide that they love it and they're great at it and they want to do it regardless of the financial outcomes of it. Others will be washed out in the next cycle down, as they discover it's not quite as easy as it looks right now.
And during this like unprecedented flood of dollars and investors, what do you see people sometimes pay over attention to that not necessarily that important? And there are some things that they don't pay attention to when evaluating companies, when investing, when making investment decisions that you should pay attention more to.
There's so many factors, Mo, involved in getting it right. And having been in the business for 30 years and studied entrepreneurship deeply, I'm still 50-50 at best, and maybe a third of the investments I make end up being really great investments. And so it's kind of like hitting a baseball. I mean, wow. The best in the world are a third or whatever of at bats, right? So the difference between world class and kind of average is actually just a few percentage points difference, right? So like most things, I think it's really continuing to hone the pattern recognition and the desire to make better decisions and have the courage of your own convictions on making those decisions. If there's one big mistake, it's everybody's attention on what everyone else is doing. as opposed to really getting clear on what it is that you feel like you have an unfair advantage and having the courage of your convictions and then being willing to bet on yourself. And there's just a lot of noise in the system right now. So the ones that tend to, I guess, get washed away, as I mentioned, when the cycle changes, are the folks that don't have the courage of their own convictions. They haven't done first principles thinking to get to an investment decision. And so they lose that conviction when the tide shifts.
And speaking of first principles, what are the top three first principles of thinking that you would say that you lived by in the past three decades and kind of like evolved to be a cornerstone in your decision-making and thinking in the venture ecosystem?
So the first would be a focus matters. And I think there's a general, you get into the venture business because you have a lot of intellectual curiosity about lots of things. And it's interesting because I think, you know, we tend to advise our CEOs and our companies to focus, right? And to really be very disciplined about, you know, making sure that they're honing in on the thing that really matters. And most venture firms are the opposite. They kind of spread themselves far and wide. And so I actually do believe focus matters. That's why when we started Emergence, we wanted to start a firm that was focused in a category, and we wanted to build a practice and an unfair advantage and a capability that nobody else had, so that that unfair advantage would grow over time. And I think that's what comes from focus. The second thing I'd say is we wanted to play venture as a team sport. And generally it's not. It's a little bit more of a franchise business, I would say, and kind of eat what you kill mentality. Our perspective was that, you know, there is a lot you can do to improve your chances of success in the business, but a lot of it is luck. And it's very hard to determine how good you are in this business for probably a decade or more. So you're much better off focusing on the inputs as opposed to the outputs, meaning, like, are you sourcing great opportunities? Are you making good decisions? Are you doing your homework? Are you adding value to the companies? Are you adding value to the partners? Are you treating each other well and with respect? And if those inputs are consistent over a long period of time and you have a point of view and a conviction, you know, you are going to get lucky. I've always said, like, you know, the whole point of the venture business is playing long enough to get lucky. And I feel like, you know, that's what we've done well at Emergence, is focus the firm, played together as a team, and done it in a way that allowed us to get lucky over time. There's a third, you know, element, which is around people. And I do think any early stage investor fundamentally is a bet on people. And there's obviously a lot that comes into play in terms of having a good product and good market opportunity and a catalyst for change in that market. But some of the characteristics of the people that you're betting on are, to me, are like the fundamentals of getting this business right. And it's hard because there, you know, it's there's no objective measure of what makes a great entrepreneur. But there are a lot of characteristics that I think are correlated with that over time. And so those are the things that we really try and pay attention to and hone.
You covered quite a lot, and those three principles, would love to unpack them a little bit. You refer to the term bet, and we bet on people. Can you unpack that a little bit and kind of like, how do you take that bet? Because it might sound like, you know, we just bet on people, and someone who's outside the venture ecosystem thing, I just take a bet, and, you know, if right. I take 10 bets, it I make it. But I think you might be a little bit more nuanced. Would love to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think that's a good, I'm glad you raised it. I mean, I'm not talking about a bet like you're going to the casino and trying to bet on the roulette wheel. What I am talking about is whatever investment you're making in that individual today is a bet on what's the future potential of that person as a leader of that organization in the next 8 to 10 years, particularly in the enterprise space, I would say, where, you know, companies tend to not necessarily just take off. You know, it's kind of built brick by brick over many years. And so what you're really betting on is, what is this person going to be like 10 years from now? That's what I mean by the bet. It's not a random thing. It's like really trying to get an assessment of the qualities that would make somebody evolve into an iconic leader of an amazing company. And in many cases, you know, you're betting on the person that they're going to be in 10 years, as I said, not the person they are today. And so if you think about it in that context, what are some of the characteristics that you would look for? I mean, you would look for not necessarily what is their experience base today, but, you know, what is their ambition and how much of an accelerated learner are they? How passionate are they about the problem they're solving? You know, how much resilience do they have in facing, you know, failure and pivoting and moving on? How good are they at engaging others in that journey and shining a light on the opportunity such that other people become equally passionate about sacrificing everything that it takes to build a successful company? So there's a lot of elements that come into play there that are very, you know, fundamental human characteristics that I think are really important for that long-term bet to pay off.
I would love to touch on a number of those characteristics, but before going there, there's a lot of discussion around in the venture ecosystem whether the bet is on the market or the bet is on the people. You once said that actually people create markets, and the patterns that you would identify in developing and finding those amazing people is actually all what matters. Can you just unpack that a little bit in kind of like taking a people's first approach?
I think Warren Buffett has a saying that if you invest in a business that's a good person running a bad business, the reputation of the business that's going to survive. And I think in the early stage investing, it's the opposite. I think if you invest in a great business with a bad person, I think it's the reputation of the person that's going to survive. So that's why I do think it does come down to betting on the quality of the individuals involved for the opportunity. And it's a bet that you're making that, you know, you're starting small and you're going to build something really iconic and big. And so it's really all about the future. Now, that being said, I do think things, we call it founder problem fit is a good term. And it's not necessarily about the characteristics of the individual. It's like, what does that person have a unique vision into or purview of that allows them to have the clarity of thinking about what the opportunity is that gives them some unique advantage? And then do they have their own courage and conviction to really see that bet through? You know, Mark Benioff, I think, is a great example of that early on where, you know, with Salesforce, you know, he had the courage of conviction around the cloud. And at the time, the cloud, the term didn't even exist, right? It was software as a service. But he had companies come and offer to buy his software, you know, for $1 million if they would put it behind their firewall, right, on premise. And he refused. And it was his conviction about that this is a better way to build a software company. It's a better way to build a relationship with your customers and a recurring revenue subscription so that you're aligned with their success. And it just really made them have this fundamental competitive advantage against all other software companies that, you know, and again, we've compounded this now over 20 years to see them grow from, you know, this company that went public in 2004 at $1 billion market cap, which we thought was like this incredible outcome and home run. It's now, whatever, a couple $100 billion. And they've continued to just grow and evolve and iterate, but they've stayed true to that focus. So that's where I think, in addition to these kind of fundamental individual character aspects that I talked about, is why does this person or team have a unique or unfair advantage in seeing an opportunity? And then again, the level of their courage and conviction to really make a bet on something. So that's been true for every one of our great investments. Eric Yuan at Zoom, you know, who was at WebEx for a dozen years, right? And really was very passionate about solving connectivity and communication problems. And, you know, at the time, everybody said video conferencing was a mature market. There really wasn't room for new players. But he saw very clearly an opportunity to lower the cost and make it, you know, easier to use and make the experience much more compelling. And we believed in his vision for that and his unique experience in having seen it firsthand at WebEx and the opportunity there. So again, those are the opportunities where you have both the characteristics of that entrepreneur that are really exceptional, but also they have some unique insight into the opportunity. So while I'm a people first investor for sure, I do think that there is something to again, having experience or unique insight into opportunity that others may not have.
Yeah, I think unique insight is the term that you touched upon a couple of times, the kind of like founder problem fit, which is pretty critical to the success. There's another kind of fit that you once talked about, which is investor-founder fit. And I quote here that when you buy into a business, you don't just buy an equity, you buy into the founder's dreams and fears and vice versa. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, on what does that actually mean?
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, I mean, nowadays, one of the great things is that you have the luxury of choice in terms of who you raise capital from. I mean, historically, you've had choice, but it was a fairly limited set of investors. Today, you know, it literally is investors around the globe that are searching for a great opportunity. So even more today, having so many choices and having competition by investors to invest in your company, I think, you know, being very intentional about who you choose as your investor makes even more sense today, given you have that luxury. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, maybe especially folks who haven't necessarily done it before, you know, don't necessarily appreciate the nuances or differences in the style and approach of different investors. It's very hard to tell. It's very easy to compare terms. It's very hard to compare what is it like to work with this person for a decade. And especially at the early stages, I think finding people who are equally passionate about what you're trying to achieve and are willing to support you in your growth as an entrepreneur to really fulfill your potential and the company's potential is really fundamental, I think, to achieving the success. And I know it sounds self-serving as a venture investor to say that, you know, we matter, but I do think we matter. I've seen boards and investors that have not been very aligned with the success of the entrepreneur or the company, and frankly, it does hold things back and it constrains the success of those companies over time. And the opposite, I've seen investors unlock potential and value because of the level of conviction that they have on the opportunity and the support that they show for that entrepreneur. So I think there's a quote I read recently that change happens at the pace of the depth of trust.
That's profound.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Change happens at the pace of the depth of trust. And I think when I think about, you know, again, what has really unlocked significant value is it's the building of that foundation of trust that gives both investors, you know, the ability to support entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs the rope to run with, you know, and they that trust has to start with kind of an alignment of values and alignment of ambitions. And hopefully, you know, some maturity and experience that allows you to work through all of the inevitable issues that occur. And, you know, from the outside looking in, obviously successful companies always look like they're all up and to the right. And for those of us that have been involved with many of them, we know that that's not the case, that there's constant issues all along the way and struggles and challenges and people issues and competitive issues and legal issues. And I mean, it's endless. The number of fires that are constantly being put out to allow companies to continue to grow and unlock that value. So having investors that are aware of that and committed to the success of the opportunity such that the problems in retrospect seem small relative to the size of the opportunity ahead. So to me, that's what picking a great partner is early stage. As the company grows and matures, I think, you know, you look for other complementary skill sets as an investor group. But I think about it like building a foundation of a skyscraper. You know, you want to go deep, right? Build that deep foundation. And then over time, you can continue to layer the cake with investors that build complementary relationships and networks and skill sets that can unlock the potential of the business.
Yeah, you got to go deep before you go high. I guess it's definitely something that 100% agree with you on that. Is there, before moving away from that topic, is there something that founders or certain signals that founders would look for to understand that investor-founder alignment or fit? They would say, like, you know, the top most important thing?
I would say references are the best, and in some ways references on companies that haven't gone as well as you would have expected, and how the investor reacted in those situations, I think are tell a lot about people. You know, it's the character of folks that show up in difficult situations that I think really speak more to the individual than anything. And I think the other thing is I would look for investors the same way I look for entrepreneurs that are constantly growing and developing and learning. I would look for investors that have that same mindset. The investor that comes to you and says, I know it all, is not relevant in the next 5 years. You know, like if they're not growing and developing as an investor and passionate about getting better every day, they're not going to grow with you as an entrepreneur. So that's probably an underappreciated thing. And I think most people who are younger in the business have that by you know, their nature, right? I mean, they know they're growing, but it's actually an interesting question for folks who are kind of mid-stage or later stage in their careers as investors and kind of assessing their commitment to continue their own personal development and growth.
Yeah. So in summary, it's like do references, especially for those investments that haven't gone well, and look for growth mindset and people who say comfortably that I don't know, and they always own the learning journey. That's amazing. So thank you for shedding some lights on that. I want to switch gear a little bit on your most recent announcement in the transition. One thing that you've constantly shared is that your fundamental core belief that venture is an apprenticeship business, and you want to focus a little bit more time now in building, you know, the apprenticeship of the venture ecosystem, not just within Emergence, but outside. You backed a number of emerging managers. Would love to get your thoughts on what is the most underappreciated thing that people look for when looking at emerging manager to back. As you said, much of the money is flooding to the asset class right now, and everyone is looking for track record and this and that. What would you say from your opinion as someone who's a core believer in the apprenticeship? What is that most underappreciated thing?
So just to comment briefly on the this transition, I mean, we raised two funds recently, Emergence 6 and our first opportunity fund. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is that we grew from within. And so four of the six general partners of the firm today started as senior associates and worked their way up. And that was the intention of the firm from the very beginning, was to, you know, create kind of a unique team-oriented culture, bring people in who had a lot of passion and talent and ambition to be great investors, but wanted to work together as a team. And that's really paid off. I mean, it's paid tremendous dividends, and it's given me the ability to really have that opportunity to step aside and see them continue to grow and evolve. And so that, in addition to investing in great entrepreneurs and seeing them, you know, fulfill their potential as a venture capitalist, one of my great personal rewards is having seen those folks evolve to become the investors that they have and the leaders that they are in our firm. So, you know, for me, I kind of reflected a little bit on where I was in my career and the impact that I wanted to have for the next 10 to 20 years. And one of the things, conclusions I came to was, well, there were certain things outside of Emergence's focus, right, that were important to me that I felt if I really wanted to spend some time and energy on, I couldn't do my LPs and my partners right. And so it felt like the right thing to do was to release some of those responsibilities and constraints so I could afford myself the luxury of focusing on those other issues. And the second thing was, you know, we only hire one or two people a year or two, you know, like very few. And the recognition I had of the lack of diversity in our industry clearly wasn't going to be solved by existing firms hiring one or two people. I mean, it really had to be about new firms coming into the fold who were founded and led by diverse managers right from the get-go. And so one of the things I felt like I could really move the needle on in the next 5+ years was helping identify some of those emerging managers that I felt had potential, becoming an LP and becoming a mentor and coach to those individuals. And so that's been a ton of fun. I've had, it's been really rewarding to meet with these emerging managers and to hear their stories and their passion and their ambition and their desire. In some ways, I feel I may even be better as an LP than I was as a VC. I mean, I've worked at two other venture firms and built a venture firm from scratch, which I'm very proud of. And so my ability to help, you know, maybe them focus on a few key things and improve the chances of success may even be better as an LP. And I think LPs generally, as fiduciaries, as they should be, are somewhat risk averse because they're managing, you know, other people's money and, you know, and track record is really important. I think what I bring to the table is, first of all, it's my own capital. So I have, you know, the benefit of just having to make myself happy about those decisions. But more importantly, I do think I've honed my nose to bet on great people. And, you know, I think as a leader of a venture firm, it's very much an entrepreneurial journey. And so a lot of the same things I look for in founders of companies, I look for as founders of venture firms. And in addition to that, you know, I wanted to focus on African American led funds or female led funds or Latino led funds. And, you know, if you look at the opportunity in the next 20 years of matching the, you know, human talent with the capital available for that talent, I mean, it's just so obvious there's like an order of magnitude less capital available for the talent in those areas of ethnic backgrounds. And I just feel like, you know, for me, it was an opportunity to help unleash that in the next 5 to 10 years. So I've made about half a dozen commitments. Again, I think the qualities I'm looking for there are very much passion for the business, this desire to continue to grow and develop. So their ability to ask good questions and take feedback and work well with others and fundamentally be really, really passionate about what they're doing, because this is a marathon business. It's not a sprint, particularly starting a venture firm. You know, if you start a great company, you can get lucky and build it up and maybe sell it in 5 years. To build a great venture firm, you're in for at least a decade, probably two, before you know if you've done a good job or not.
And in addition to passion and growth mindset, from your experience in 3 decades of venture investing, what do you think makes a great venture investor?
I think a lot of it comes down to two things. One is this kind of deep desire to live vicariously through the success of others. I think as an investor, you got to fundamentally be fueled by others' success. And I think this courage of your own convictions is really important. So people who are very much kind of looking at what others are doing or trying to pile on to, you know, hot deals, I just find they tend not to last because, again, the tide could shift quite quickly. And in that moment, you know, when others are fearful, you have the courage of your own convictions, that's when you can make our best investments were in 2008, 2009 during the financial crisis. Oh, wow. You know, we had the courage of conviction in our area of focus. We had made a bunch of investments, some good, some bad, but you know, others were scared at the time and we doubled down and we made investments in companies like ServiceMax and Viva and, you know, SuccessFactors. We even bought some public stock, I believe, you know, at the time that was like, you know, below its IPO price because we just had such conviction over the company. That's when you make huge returns is in those moments when there's a lot of doubt and uncertainty and you've built up this unique and unfair courage of your own convictions. So that's really what I'm looking for in those venture investors. And then maybe the third piece is I do think there's value in playing venture as a team sport and building a partnership culture. And that's different than running a company. You know, generally they're not, you know, it's not a CEO, you know, telling others what to do. It's about really helping each other make the best decisions possible and being respectful and supportive in helping the best decisions be made. And that takes a somewhat of a different mentality. There's a lot of investors that have quite a lot of ego in the business and maybe their best is kind of individual investors, solo GPs. But if you really want to build a firm, I think you really have to want others in your firm to succeed as much as yourself. And that mentality is pretty rare in the business. And I always tell people, What do you think the likelihood of you generating the most returns in your firm versus one of your partners? Well, if you believe, you know, luck is somewhat equally distributed, the likelihood is your partners are the ones that are going to generate the vast majority of the returns. So, you know, it may be you, but it's more likely to be them. So you're better off making them successful than you are focusing just on yourself. And I just think, again, if a lot of people took that perspective, they would be a lot happier in terms of the partnership, you know, dynamic and culture. But more importantly, I think they'd be much more successful.
I mean, Jason, I've learned a lot in that conversation, and I think we can go for hours. Would love to conclude by asking you, as you have a little bit more time at your hand right now, and as venture capital is being human, what are you doing for fun these days as a little bit more time at your hands after this transition?
Well, the capacity hasn't opened up dramatically yet. One of the things about the venture business, even if you're, I'm on 8 boards and several nonprofits, and I have 2 kids that are leaving for school in the next year or two. And so trying to spend time with them, and the pandemic, and one silver lining has been the time we've spent as a family together. And that's still something that is really important to me. But when I am focused on having fun, it's usually trying to get out on the tennis court or play some golf or go for a hike, you know, get out in nature, which is something I love to do. And I'm having a lot of fun learning about areas that I haven't had the time to dig in on. So climate change is an area that I'm very fascinated by and seeing where perhaps I can make an impact. I've been focusing on the problem of mass incarceration in our country and how to make sure folks that are getting out and have a real fair shot at a second chance in life. And that's been a real interesting area that I've been diving deep on. And then educational opportunities continue to, I think education is the one thing that, you know, you can give to somebody, it can never be taken away, and hopefully provides continuing opportunities for those who have the desire to invest in themselves and grow and develop. So that's an area that I'm very passionate about. And then finally, this whole area of racial justice and equity, you know, I think it's hit all of us how systemic some of these issues have been. And my feeling is, you know, unless all of us start doing something differently than we've been doing in the past, that it won't change. So it's for me something that I'm hopeful the next 10 or 15 years, I find as much fun and passion and purpose in some of these initiatives as I do out on the tennis court. But having a balance of all of those is going to be really the fun part for the next journey.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for your time. Great conversation, and looking forward to the next one.
I am as well, Mo. Thanks so much.
That's a wrap. Tune in next week for another candid conversation on what makes a great VC investor with your host, the Kauffman Fellows.